Welcome to the Bethany Community Church Podcast for September 27, 2015. This week's sermon is titled, The Map and the Compass.
A reading from the book of John, John 14:16. I will talk to the Father, and He'll provide another friend, so that you will always have someone with you. This friend is the Spirit of Truth. The godless world cannot take Him in because it doesn't have eyes to see Him, doesn't know what to look for. But you know Him already, because He has been staying with you, and will even be in you. Ephesians 6:17. Put on salvation as your helmet, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong and teaches us what to do right. God uses it to prepare and equip His people to do every good work. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. I want to talk to you today about yielding your inner voice to the Holy Spirit and to the Word of God. Because within you is a very powerful thing. And we call it your inner voice. We may call it a lot of things. You may call it your inner guide, your gut, your feelings. I'm calling this message the map and the compass. The map and the compass. The map is the Bible. Andrew, would you hand me that Bible over there? Because I want to hold this Bible up because this is an ancient artifact that some of you have never seen one. This is an actual Bible. It has pages. They printed this with ink. And they, you know, it's not digital. It's a real book. I want to hold it up today because there's something emotional about this as a book. There's something emotional about these pages because those of us who grew up around church and grew up in this, we knew these ancient artifacts laying around our home had meant that in our home was a guide, a map. So we're gonna call this the map today. Maybe we'll pick it up from time to time. I actually brought an actual map up here that Shane Sullivan went out and found for me. A really beautiful map. I love this map. I don't know if I have it upside. It's right side up. But it's a map of the world. And God has given us the Scripture as a map. But He's also given us something else. He's put within us. This is a complex compass. It's got several different dials. I don't know how to read it. But I guess somebody who was a little more skilled could read this. But this is a compass. And God has put within our souls, within our hearts, It sounds too surface to say put it in our minds, because we know it's somewhere deeper than just our brains. We can't bring it. You know, nobody ever told someone, "I love you with all my brain." That just doesn't. But that's where the emotions of love are. They're between your ears. That's where it all lives. But we don't feel comfortable with that, do we? Because we just know it's way too important, it's way too personal just to call it the brain. I love you with my brain. My brain is telling me to do something. That just doesn't sound right, does it? But to say I feel this deep in my, I feel this deep in my cranium. Just my deep in the back of the I can never say that word. Cerebellum, that's where it's cerebellum. Deep in my cerebellum, I have deep emotions for you. No, we talk about the heart because this is so powerful. Ancient mariners travel the world without a compass. without a map. They travel the world because they were able to follow the currents of rivers and the currents of oceans, and they were able to follow the birds, the Polynesian mariners who settled or populated territory all the way from the coast of India all the way to Hawaii, a 4,000-mile triangle that they sailed through, and they populated, and they did it without any mechanical devices because they learned to watch the currents, and they learned to watch the direction of the wind, and they learned to watch the birds because they knew the birds had to land eventually. And so they did this amazing thing. And so God has equipped you to be guided. God's equipped you to live a guided life by putting something in you that is so powerful. It is so powerful that we shouldn't just call it the inner voice. We should call it the inner force, because it is so powerful. Jesus said, out of your belly shall flow rivers. Out of your belly shall flow rivers. The difference between a river and a swamp is direction and boundaries. Direction and boundaries turns a mass of water into a powerful force that can create hydroelectric power, can bring life, and can bring beauty. And that's what I want us to try to do this morning. I want us to figure out how to take this awesome force called emotions and feelings and urges and impressions and ideas and inspirations and thoughts, and find out if maybe God has a map, maybe He has a book, maybe He has a script that will give that mighty force in your life boundaries so that your life can be powerful, and it won't be a destructive force. Like water on the loose is a destructive force, but you give water boundaries, and you give water purpose, and you give water direction, and it will actually come out of a faucet in your house for you to bathe your body and hydrate your body and clean your house, because it gets direction and it gets focus. And that's what God wants to do with that powerful thing that's in our gut. I believe, and I don't believe I will have much argument with this, that the most common source of guidance for most people, at least in the Western world, is their feelings, their gut. Most critical conversations begin with the words, I feel. I feel. I feel. And if you get Christianese in it, it's I feel led. Now that's really powerful. You don't argue with somebody who's feeling led, because they will hurt you if they feel led. And if they feel that God has told them, get out of the way, because that's the final authority when they feel that God has spoken to them. And we're going to talk about today, because we don't need to squash this power. We don't need to stop this power. We can't stop it. You can't stop this power. This power of the urge, the emotion, the inner chatter, the inner voice, the inner urge that comes from within us. We can't stop it. It's like nuclear power. What a powerful force nuclear power is. It can light up a city. It can create incredible image resonance machines and all kinds of nuclear medicine, all kinds of things. It can power a large vessel. It can also destroy the world. That's what you have living inside of you. You have nuclear power living inside of you. It is without a doubt the most powerful source of human guidance. It's not the only source of human guidance. I hope it's not. It is for some. And that's what we want to try to bring some correction to that today, for those who that's their only source of guidance. But it is powerful, and we must not dismiss it. I'm in the voice of the wilderness. See, we are in a We're in a spiritual revival in the Western world today regarding the inner guide and the inner voice. There are seminars, workshops, life coaches. I heard one woman in doing my research who's written 8 books on how to access your inner guide, how to get in touch with your feelings. It is a huge spiritual revival that has nothing to do with loving God and nothing to do with loving the scripture, but with believing in yourself and believing that deep inside of you is an almost infallible, almost infallible, foolproof way of always making the right decision. If you can just get in touch with yourself, you will always make the right decision. It's the wisdom that's being in the streets today. And I want to be a voice in the wilderness this morning. And I want to say, yes, I agree that the inner voice is extremely important and an important tool in God's hands to help guide your life. But I want to be a voice in the wilderness, and I want to say that we need to embrace the ancient map and engage with the ancient Holy Spirit. And that could form what we might call a three-legged stool. If we will embrace with the Holy Spirit that God has said, I want to put in your belly. I want to move in within you. See, God has so much respect for the inner voice that he said, the Spirit will be in you. I want to put the Holy Spirit in you. I want you to ask for the Holy Spirit. And I want to give you an anchor. I want to give you I'm going to give you a map to go with your compass. And we want to take that nuclear power. We want to take the power of hydraulics, which water represents, and we want to channel it so it brings health to your family, health to your community, health to your life, and it doesn't actually wreck your life. We only have one life. We can't afford just to experiment with it. We can't afford it. This powerful inner voice, we just can't afford to experiment with it. We got to more often than not start getting it right. I encountered the inner voice getting it wrong when I was in fourth grade. Fourth grade, my family moved from a little town of 16,000, kind of like a little smaller than Milford, McKinney, Texas. Funny thing, I was in McKinney the other day, and McKinney, when I grew up there, was 16,000. Now it's 175,000 people. I got lost in my hometown the other day. I had no idea where I was. I hadn't been for GPS. I had to use GPS to figure out where in the world I was at. But grew up in that little town of McKinney, and we moved to Irving, Texas, which was already a pretty a larger city at that point, and between Dallas and Fort Worth. And my dad took over a fast food restaurant down there. And so my parents put me in the Irving, Texas school district, which was like 10, 20, 30, 40 times the size of the little Fannie Finch elementary school that I went to in McKinney, Texas. And I wasn't very happy. I was a shy kid. And I go into this big old school and didn't know anybody. And I think the first week there, a kid accused me of stealing his pencil. And so I get dragged down to the principal's office. And to this day, if that kid is listening anywhere, I did not steal your pencil. And I knew I didn't steal his pencil. I knew nothing about it. And I remember Mr. Claude Felter, a little round man with a mustache. And I'll never forget this because it made me so angry. And it still makes me angry. I still have bitterness. And I'm still asking God to help me to forgive him. He looked at me and said, I can tell by looking in your eyes that you are lying to me. His gut got it wrong. Some more serious cases are people serving life sentences. Back in 1989, some of you may know this story. Scott Hornoff was a detective in Warwick, Rhode Island. And a lady, I don't remember what her name was, but she was murdered. And the only connection that Scott had with her is he had had an affair with her. And some of his companions in the station suspected that. And so they called him in and they asked him. And of course, he was being recorded. And that's not exactly the way he wanted to let the world know that he had had an affair. So he lied and said he didn't do it. So they determined right there he killed her. And without any forensics, they didn't take his clothes. They ignored the fact that there was a shoe print in the room where she was killed that was not the same as his. No forensics. They convinced a judge and a jury that he was guilty and sentenced him to life in prison. He was in prison for 6 years. It was altogether 13 years after the murder. A guy came forward and confessed that he did it. He was waiting till his mother died before he told. And Scott was exonerated. And that inner urge, it's so powerful that even when he was released, neither the men in his department or the DA or the prosecutors would admit they were wrong. I'm telling you, this inner voice, inner urge, our inner beliefs are extremely, extremely, extremely powerful. And extremely unreliable. 2012, a group of researchers gathered some master chess players because they wanted to see if this, in fact, they're doing a lot of research right now about this. They wanted to see if the gut was really reliable, if, you know, people's first instincts. And so they had the chess players think their moves out loud. And you know what they found out? These are master chess players, but almost every time their first move, their first thought for their first move was wrong. Because decision-making requires, and getting in touch with your own inner voice requires time and thinking and all of that. You know, we all need to get humble. Sherry had a woman a while back come to the Blessing Barn and tell her, God told me to volunteer at the Blessing Barn 3 days a week. And so Sherry said, it's great, invites her, she comes. After the first day, and she realized how much physical labor was involved, she came back and said, you know, I can't do it anymore. And Sherry said, well, that's fine, but let me just caution you against saying God told you, because it doesn't look good when you say God told you and then you quit. She said, oh, I still believe God told me. He just wanted to see if I would do it. It's like the hunter. Remember, there was a guy one time that claimed he never missed, that whatever he shot at, he hit it. And so he took a group of guys out one day, and they wanted to see this guy who never missed. And so a group of geese flew overhead, and he takes his gun, and he holds it up, and he aims, and he fires, and no geese drop. And he turned to the men with him and said, you guys are witnessing a miracle. There flies a dead goose. We need to get humble. We all need to get humble. We're not infallible. We miss it. I thought I heard from God, and when it's over, just admit it. Say, yeah, I thought that was God, but I guess it wasn't. The Bible says we see through a glass darkly. That's why we need this. That's why we need this. And that's why I need the Holy Spirit, and that's why I need you.
Yes.
And I need you because I'm not infallible in my ability to hear God, but I don't need to quit hearing from God. We're not going to let you do that this morning because you need to keep hearing from God. We have had amazing things happen in our lives. Most of us in this room, and Sherry and I in particular, we've had some amazing things happen at that voice, that inner voice, that urge, that thought that when it's all said and done, you know, this just couldn't be us. That there has to be something more powerful in our lives. A few years ago now, Sherry, of course, works, sells real estate, and would go by this building in Franklin. It was a church. and would go by this church and just had this feeling. I need to go in there. I need to investigate that. God has something for us in that building. And we weren't looking for another building. We felt no urgency to go plant a church in Franklin. That's never been anything I felt, or I don't think she felt, that God was saying to us. We just felt, she just saw this building and felt, and she one day went into the, got access to the building and went into it. And the minute she stepped into it, walked in the building, she stepped on a nail and had to go to the hospital. But within a few days, somehow she found a phone number associated with the building and called this person. And when she called this person, answered the phone and identified herself, the person said, "Oh, hi, Sherry." And she said, "Well, do I know you?" She said, "Oh, yeah, I've been coming to your church for a couple of years." To make a long story short, Sherry met with these group of ladies that this church had been built 40 years ago. 40 years ago, this building had been built. They could not finish it. And so they had had to abandon this church, this beautiful church. And some of you have been out there, so you know what we're talking about. They had abandoned this beautiful church. And so Sherry met with these ladies, and God put this thing together in such an amazing way. They had refused to sell this building to many, many churches had tried to buy it. And to make a long story a little shorter, they sold it. They would not sell it to our church. So they sold it to Sherry and I for a few thousand dollars. Not very much. They sold it to Sharon at a few thousand dollars. And you know what God spoke to our heart? I remember specifically what I heard in my heart was, we must vindicate the name of Jesus in this community. And we must redeem this building to vindicate the name of Jesus because of the shame of this church sitting there for 40 years and getting in disrepair. And we put money into it. We got it. That it had a fire, and we repaired the roof that had been damaged, and there was the basement was up to your neck in bicycle parts. It was a mess, and we cleaned up that property. We put in a well, and again the voice that I heard inside, and the urge that I felt, redeem this for the cause of Christ. Never could I hear, and I tried. I used to go out there and pray. I used to walk all around that building and that property. I was praying. I wanted God to say, do something here. And I couldn't hear that. All I could hear was, vindicate this, redeem this for the cause of Christ. And we sold it to a church. And right now, if you drive out there, it is so beautiful. They finished the parking lot. They made it a gorgeous place. And you know that building had been... The town of Franklin had already taken the deed and title to that building and given it to their attorney, and they were preparing to seize it. Within a few days from us purchasing it, if we hadn't purchased it, it would have belonged to the town of Franklin, and it would not have been rescued for the cause of Christ. And there's a beautiful, wonderful congregation meeting there today, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, doing the work of God in Franklin, because Sherry... later myself, heard the whisper of God. It is so important to hear the whisper of God. You never want to stop doing it. That inner voice that God leads us, it's so important. I remember years ago, a couple came to me and wanted me to marry them. They were from out of state. And I said, sure, I'll marry you, no problem. And I couldn't sleep. I just couldn't sleep. I would think about marrying this couple, and I couldn't rest. I couldn't get inner peace about marrying this couple. And finally, I went back to them and got a little more information, and I got the name of her pastor in Louisiana. And so I called him up on the phone, and I said, I just want to talk to you about this couple. And he said, I'm glad you called me, because her husband is down here, and he's praying that his wife will come back to him. And I realized I couldn't be a part of it. Another pastor in the community wasn't as godly as I am, and he married them anyway. But no, I wasn't trying to say that. That was a mistake. But it the inner voice, the thing that God puts within us is so important. In fact, I want to play a little video clip of the vice president of marketing for Walgreens about how he heard from God, how he heard the whisper of God at a global leadership summit back in 2010.
Shoes, hearing about Tom Shoes' one-for-one model. Every time that you buy a pair of shoes is given to someone in need. God tapped me on the shoulder, whispered in my ear that I needed to bring this model to Walgreens in the healthcare space, vitamins, immunizations, even prescriptions. So I wasn't exactly sure how I would do that. I just started scheduling meetings on our corporate campus and just pled my case, how I thought this one-for-one idea with our size and scale as a company could do a lot of good and do a lot of good business at the same time. Everyone that I met with said, yeah, that's a really great idea. We just can't afford to do it. At times, I got very frustrated and I wanted to give up. And then, a little over a year after the summit, I was in a sales meeting with our CEO, and I actually happened to be behind him at the coffee machine. And I heard that same voice that I heard at the summit. It said, Mike, tell him about your idea. So I did. I actually chickened out a little bit. And I said to him that I have this great idea. If you don't mind, I'd like to send you an email later today that lays out the proposal. And great guy. He said, I'm happy to read your email. So after that meeting was over, I headed back to my office. And then I literally spent probably the next 4 hours trying to craft the perfect email. I fully didn't expect him to respond until Monday or Tuesday, but within a few short hours, I had received a response. He said he was very familiar with the Tom Shoes model. Think this idea has merit? Please pursue it. So at this point, I'm ecstatic. Permission from the CEO granted. This thing will move forward and move forward quick. Started setting up all those same meetings again and talking with individuals about the program, and everyone said, yeah, we all agree. Great idea. We just can't afford to do it. So naturally, I was a little deflated and dejected and wasn't going to give up, but I wasn't really sure where to go next. And then one day, I'm walking down the hallway on our corporate campus, and an individual stops me, the head of our immunization team, and shares with me that he's decided to try, for a brief promotional period, the one-for-one model. So for every shot that you get, we give a shot to a child in need, both the polio and the measles vaccines. And really, my role in this was all done. Our marketing team, our immunization team, they took it. They chose the right partner with the UN Foundation for this promotional period. And we had a tremendous success. So this year, for every immunization that you receive at Walgreens, we are following the one-for-one model. So if you think about the impact over the last 2 years, over 9 million children have received life-saving vaccines. I'm definitely humbled to have just played a small role in bringing this program forward.
You see, what Mike illustrates to me is that he had a compass, which was the inner voice. He had learned to hear the voice of God. But not only that, he had a map. I need to bring Tom Shoes one-to-one model to Walgreens was his compass. But his map told him, the Bible, be courageous. Don't be afraid. His map told him, be winsome and winning. Don't be demanding and domineering. His map told him, entreat, instead of demand. His map told him, be diligent. Take 4 hours to put together an email. His map told him, be negotiable. He didn't get every department to do it, but he got one department to express his compassion. You see, with Sherry and I, the compass told us, buy that building. But our map told us, don't profit from it. We gave all the money to the church. I mean, the church ended up owning it. We didn't want to own it. It wasn't about us. It was about you, and it was about this community, and it was about Franklin, and it was about Minden. You see, you need a map, and you need a compass. See, God may not have spoken to you if he tells you to marry someone, but they're somebody else's wife. God just may not have spoken to you. God may not have spoken to you if he told you to give all your money away and then you have to go to CNE to get them to pay your electric bill. God may not have spoken to you if he told you to put your tithe in the bank in a savings account for 20 years and then you take the money and buy yourself a house with it and you turn your garage into a pop-up prayer place. Now, I didn't make that up. That really happened. That really happened. Truth is always better than fiction, you know. No lie, a man came up to Sherry quite recently, and he had heard about the happy place, so this inspired him to tell her about her place. Now, don't go looking for it, because it's not around here. It's in another state. It's a few miles away from here. But do look for it wherever you drive because I think it's terribly interesting. He told Sherry, he said, I'm a Christian, and 20 years ago, God told me not to give my tithe to any church, but to put my tithe in a savings account. And at the end of 20 years, I bought a house with a garage, and I turned my garage into a pop-in prayer place. And I put a sign out by the road that says, pop-in prayer place. Contact me, and I will text you my garage door code so you can pop in and pray anytime, 24 hours a day. And I can just imagine somebody squeezing in between his car and his snowblower and having a moment with Jesus, can't you? People are crazy. The map. The map is a path of principles, processes, and promises. Principles. There's the principle of sowing and reaping. There's the principle that boundaries create freedom. There's the principle that humility creates honor. The principle that serving creates authority. That kindness creates attraction, that generosity leads to prosperity, that endurance makes us strong. These are all life-giving principles found in the map. There's the processes, and there's too many processes for me to even talk to you about, but the church is one of God's processes. Fellowship is one of God's processes. Authority is one of God's processes. You know, the authority at your work, the authority at your work and the processes they create is a part of the principle and the part of the processes that are found in the map. Whether they know it or not, they're being biblical. Find out who's in charge. Not so you can become the one in charge, but so you can find out what their process is. And you can win them over, and you can win their hearts. And you can get amazing things done with a minimum of collateral damage. Don't be afraid of processes. Don't be afraid of authority. Love authority, and it will be one of the best decisions you will ever make. Authority is not a threat to your word from God. I said authority is not a threat to your word from God. Authority is the boundaries that turn a body of water into a mighty river that causes your word from God to have more impact. The promises of God is that God will always love us, that God will never leave us, that grace is available. These are the covenant promises that guarantee our safe arrival to the destination that God has promised. Listen at how excited King David was about the map. He said in Psalms 119:97, "Oh, how I love your instructions. I think about them all day long. Your commands make me wiser than my enemies, for they are my constant guide. Yes, I have more insight than my teachers. How sweet your words taste to me. They are sweeter than honey. Your word is a lamp to my feet, a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path." See, the reliable inner voice has a dependent relationship with truth and understanding. Here's the deal, guys. A person who is ignorant about a subject very seldom suddenly becomes an expert on that subject because they got in touch with their feelings. It just almost never happens. Have you just noticed that people who are already a student of financial markets have better intuition than people that don't know anything about financial markets when it comes to the stock market? I've never wakened in the middle of the night with a reliable urge about stocks. Now, if I studied them, I would start getting some urges and some intuition and some hunches. But I don't get any hunches because that's not something I study. Students of real estate values and real estate law get better hunches about property values than people who never study that stuff. Students of architectural design get better dreams and visions about beautiful architectural design than people who never read a book about it. People who are a student of music have more brilliant hit songs come out of their soul than people who never listen to music and never play an instrument. Have you noticed that? People that study culinary arts and they study cooking, and they get more brilliant ideas out of the blue about recipes than somebody who never has cooked anything. You're getting quiet today. Is it because it's getting so deep, or if you're asleep? I don't know. I never know. You don't have some student at Johnson & Wales School of Culinary Arts on his way to class, never played an instrument, and never played music, suddenly have a great song come to them. Now go to Berkeley, go the other direction, and you'll get a lot of that because they're studying music. Now what am I trying to say? I'm trying to say get in the book. Get in the book and you'll get better intuition. Get in the book and your feelings about divine direction will get better. Start educating your spirit, educating your soul. What did he say? The sword of the spirit is the word of God. The sword of the spirit is the word of God. In fact, psychologists are realizing this, and they've done a lot of research on something they call the inner voice hypothesis, IVH. Their research has indicated that we don't have a reliable inner voice without what they call domain-relevant knowledge. So getting in touch with your feelings is not a foolproof method of decision-making. The river that runs through you needs truth to take you to the right destination. The Bible is our source of domain-relevant knowledge. This week, I thought about my week. This week, I listened to 4 sermons. I read 20 or 25 chapters in the Bible. I read several chapters of a book. I had 2 lengthy biblical conversations with members of this church. Why do I do that? Why do I do that? Because my inner sensei, my inner master, needs domain-relevant knowledge. I need to know more and more about God. I need to know more and more about how God thinks. I need to know more and more about how His voice sounds. I need to know more and more about His principles. That way, when I get these urges and these feelings and these dreams in the middle of the night, I will know that they do fit in with the truth in God's Word. I will know if they'll keep me on the map or if they blow me off the map. And if they're taking me off the map, I know it's not a word from God. I know I just ate too much pizza before I went to bed. A lot of words from God come from eating too many beans. The Holy Spirit, the God of the universe, is offering to put in your belly, makes Himself obligated to the Scripture. I don't know if you catch that, but the Holy Spirit that God is offering to put in your belly makes Himself obligated to the Scripture, and He's making it your personal responsibility to know scripturally affirmed truth. Now, that doesn't mean you just read the Bible. I read all kinds of stuff. I read stuff written by people who aren't even Christians, and I discover biblical truth. But the Bible's my map. I always compare what I read with what I know the Word says. But when the Father sends the Advocate, as He is my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, He will remind you, listen to this, of everything I have told you. So I need to know what He told him. I need to know what He told him so the Holy Spirit can bring it to my remembrance. This is not to restrict you, but this is to release you so you can start being powerful. You can start, as I say, ride the rapids of your one powerful life. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us. I'm not trying to take away your inner voice. I want to make it better. I want to make it more powerful. I want to help you to eliminate the chatter that's taking you in wrong directions. I want you to be able to separate what is just what you would like. We all have that. Nothing wrong with that. I want you to be able to separate the voices of your ancestors, the voices of your parents and your grandparents, the voices of the trauma that happened to you when you were a kid. Those are powerful voices that you need to be aware of, but they're not the voice of God. They're not going to guide you to the right place. The voices of your child abuse aren't going to guide you to the right place. You need to be aware of them, and you need to listen to them, and you need to explore them. Maybe you need to sit with a counselor and explore those things. But if those are the things that are driving you, they're going to drive you to the wrong place. You need to replace those with a pure voice of the Holy Spirit that's uncluttered by your experience and uncluttered by your own prejudices and biases, that we all have prejudices and biases that will make us hear things from God that aren't from God, but there is a pure word of God that is unfettered and untraumatized and unbiased, and it's something that will take you to victory after victory after victory, success after success after success, and good things will happen to your life, good things will happen to your health, good things will happen to your community, good things will happen to your church, good things will happen to your world, because you're an instrument of the Most High God. Let me close with giving you three steps out of the wilderness. Ask Jesus to give you the Holy Spirit. Forget any theological positions by my denomination or any other. Don't worry about what's going to happen. Just ask the Holy Spirit. Ask Jesus to give you the Holy Spirit. We had a wonderful day here a few months ago, and some of you were there when we gathered in the Paradigm Room with the graduating students of Alpha, and we had a day when we talked all day about the Holy Spirit And we all asked Jesus, and everybody came forward that day and asked Jesus to fill them, give them the gift of the Holy Spirit. And I'll tell you, I can't verify this or that happened in us that day, but I'll tell you, it was a powerful day. It was a wonderful day that I'm looking forward to doing again. Number two, commit to becoming a student of truth. Number three, schedule a daily quiet time for God and self-awareness. And you will get better at having a reliable, powerful inner voice. I'm going to invite our prayer partners to come right now. And maybe you're here today and you are wrestling with some decisions, wondering, what is God saying? You're hearing different things coming from inside of you. You're thinking about making some big changes. You're thinking about a new job. You're thinking about breaking off a relationship or getting into a relationship. Maybe you're thinking about which church you should start attending. Or maybe you're thinking about a ministry within that church. Maybe you're like the guy with Walgreens. There's something really cool that's being dropped into your heart, and you just wonder if it's God. I know the prayer partners are here today, and they'd be glad to pray with you about that. Maybe you're here today and you've never started that walk with Jesus Christ. He's your shepherd. He's your guide. But you've never received him as your inner guide. And today you'd like to do that. You can do that without coming forward, but it'd be great if you came forward and you let these guys pray with you and you tell them, I've decided to cross the line of faith and become a faith follower of Jesus Christ. Maybe you just have some trauma and difficulty in your life today and you've gotten some bad news and you want prayer. You come up here and be prayed for. Join us in communion. There's communion station at the back. There's communion, three communion stations in the front. If nothing else, take a couple minutes and have a communion with God so that that inner voice gets refreshed and you get clear away some of the clutter so you can hear. Because nobody, I want to be very clear about this today, as much as I tell funny stories and like to tell funny stories about people who say God told them stuff, and as much as sometimes we pastors develop a tick and people say, God told me, you're like, because you know the position that puts you in when they say God told you. You know, you really can't argue with them. You got to either let them have their way or you're rebelling against God, you know. So we kind of can, we pastor types can be a little skittish about God told me. Listen, I still believe God speaks to you. And I want you to cultivate that. I want you to get better at that. I want you to get great at that because God has something good for you that I can't replace the voice of God in your life. No matter how hard I try to preach, I can't replace the voice of God. Nothing can replace. Even the Bible doesn't replace the voice of God. It gives it boundaries. So let's pray about that today. Father, in Jesus' name, we come to the table of fellowship with you, and we receive from you new and fresh direction. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to the Bethany Community Church Podcast. For more information, please visit us online at bccma.org. Thank you, and God bless.